This evening, Rinpoche continued his explanation of Lama Tsongkhapa's source of all held by the Nalanda masters. My good, with a particular emphasis on the view of emptiness. So if everyone who has a book in front of them wants to turn to the section on the source of all my good, it's on page 39 in a lot of the books, or right around that section. So you'll see the source. We have the Tibetan script as well as the English. So that's the correct page. So this is the Yuntin Shijoma. So Rinpoche just said, so again, we'll be going tonight over this Lama Tsongkhapa's source of all my good. So this text, The Source of All My Good by Lama Tsongkhapa, is really a summary of Lama Tsongkhapa's larger Lamrim, the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, as well as summarizing the meaning of Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment. So the root text behind all of the Lamrim teachings is truly Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment. And what is explained in all of the Lamrim text, or the text on the stages of the path, is the subject of the person called the persons of three capacities, and the presentation of the pathways for persons of three capacities. So we have, when we look at Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment, at the beginning of the text we find a stanza that reads, understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, medium, and great. I shall write clearly identifying their characteristics, or clearly define these. So here, Lord Atisha was speaking of the pathways for beings of small capacity, the pathways for beings of medium capacity, and the pathways for beings of great capacity. So this is truly what the subject matter of the Lamrim is, these three capacities.
So what the Lamrim is, what the Pujana Sonju Sunin Dua, the Lamrim Kananolu Yadrawa.
So if you look at Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment, Sonju Sonyi.
Sonju Sonyi Ndu.
Gare.
Okay.
So when we look at Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment, it begins with the following words and then stanza. So we find, homage to the Bodhisattva, the youthful Manjushri. I pay homage with great respect to the conquerors of the three times, to their teaching and to those who aspire to virtue. Urged by the good disciple, Shanshibuo, I shall illuminate the lamp for the path to enlightenment. So here, this section is Atisha's expression of worship or expression of homage. And then the next stanza is that summary of the three capacities. It states, understand there are three kinds of persons. Because of their small, middling, and supreme capacities, I shall write clearly distinguishing their individual characteristics. So then this is the second stanza, actual bodied stanza in the text. And this is really the summary of all of the content. So then the next stanza in Atisha's Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment is a little bit more of an expanded explanation of the small capacity. So in this second stanza, we find the real summary or the abbreviated explanation of those three capacities, the summary of those three capacities. And then the next stanzas elaborate on those capacities or have more of an expanded explanation or a broader explanation of each of those. So the first one begins with the pathways for beings of small capacity. So it states, know that those who by whatever means seek for themselves no more than the pleasures of cyclic existence are persons of least capacity. So here, this stanza is referring again to the pathways for persons of small capacity, and these are pathways for beings who wish to achieve rebirth in the higher realms of cyclic existence, in the gods realm, or the humans or demigods realm. This is for a being who wishes to achieve higher realm rebirth. So a person who strives for this result engages in various practices that lead to that goal or pathways that lead to that goal. That practitioner engages in going for refuge to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, engaging in ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and then if he or she wavers or engages in any among those non-virtues, there is an confession or acknowledgement of one's downfall or of one's transgression. So these are the pathways for beings of small capacity that lead to the higher realms within cyclic existence. So this is a little more of an explanation of that small capacity than we find in the first stanza that's abbreviated. The next stanza explains the pathways for beings of medium capacity in a broader fashion or in a more expanded fashion. So then it states, those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, are said to be of middling capacity. So this explains the pathways for beings of medium capacity. And anyone who's trying to follow along, this is on page 24. The root text of the lamp is on page 24. So here, if we look at this and start to break down the meaning, it says those who seek peace for themselves alone. So a practitioner who seeks liberation for themselves, turning away from worldly pleasures. This is referring to renunciation, a desire to definitely emerge from cyclic existence. So this turning away from worldly pleasures is referring to it's translated in many ways. Sometimes the determination to be free, sometimes renunciation, but it all means the same thing. And the most literal way to translate it is the desire to definitely emerge from cyclic existence. And avoiding destructive actions are said to be of middling capacity. So this practitioner strives for liberation and renounces cyclic existence as a way to achieve that state of liberation. Then Jibu Din on Tuma Lanji Rimba, the Lama Son Yene, the
Jibu Din on Tuma Lanji Rimba, the Tatu Labas on the Yundi Samas with the Lari Chiman Duro.
So the real meaning of this medium pathways that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity is this desire to definitely emerge from cyclic existence. And then a practice of the three highest higher trainings with that renunciation at the root or the base of the practice. We then will move to the explanations of these topics. Look for the explanations of these topics now in the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment.
Denzi Marie Badan, Yomu Badan, Ledan, Tunetu, Kane, Tabatuagi. What did Chibundi, what did they do with Yerota?
So the pathways for beings of medium capacity are those three highest higher trainings. And when we look at what the meaning of these highest higher trainings, we can use an example to understand them. If one were to want to cut down a tree, it would be necessary to have various factors in place. First of all, one would need a stable base of a body to be able to cut down a tree. So that stable base of a body is compared to the highest higher training in ethics. So one has to have this highest higher training in ethics that's like if one wishes to achieve liberation, just like if one wishes to cut a tree, he or she needs to begin with a stable basis of a body. The next factor that's necessary is an arm to do the cutting of the tree. So that arm that does the cutting of the tree is compared to the highest higher training in concentration. So if one wishes to achieve liberation, it's necessary to engage in that practice. That's like the arm that gives one the ability to cut down a tree. And then the last part of the example is that to cut down the tree, it's necessary to have some kind of a saw or some kind of a blade. And that saw or that blade that actually does the cutting of the tree is compared to the highest higher training in wisdom. The highest higher training in wisdom will then allow one to achieve the state of liberation, So by practicing these three highest higher trainings, one is able to get rid of the ignorance that grasps at true establishment, and then therefore by getting rid of that which is at the root of the cyclic existence, one gets rid of the afflictions and therefore gets rid of the karma, and therefore cyclic existence is extinguished and that being can be liberated from it. So that's how we would the three highest higher trainings are explained by way of this an example.
Rang shula chaba dang, jeng shula damba. Do cha to kondro oto suche, ti wang lesa ne, kual ku ne, dunga nyundu kwa tsawa to wate denzin dretis, kui tsawa denzin yishir wata. Wate, tende imi juse chuna dema maruwa shibe, wate, ten tuni tibi shiro chungsu na, anu wate kui tsawa denzin nyundu maruwa a. Taba dhruma yinba shesuna, taba dhrunzi jilol nyanruguduwa. Wa tena ajin chuna, nga dhaba maruba, maruba di shesuna, nga dhaba dhruma zibi denzin, kuy tawal nyanru maruba. Kuy tawal nyanruguduwa, ne diin dhrabu, dhachadun khundru dhan, dhunghali kangal nyanru maruba. Wa tika ne, taba yungu yinjiruguda, taba.
Okay.
Yeah. Wa tena dhashi yinjana maruba.
Okay, two chain up, double do. So when we look at the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, we find the meaning of emptiness and what that truly means. So at the beginning of the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, we find statements that state addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Shariputra, "O a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form. Emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness." And then it states again later on, that there is no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. So what this is referring to is that there is no truly established eye or form, feeling, perception, formation, or consciousness. There is no truly established any among these our sense faculties, such as our eyes, are not truly established, ears, nose, etc., are not truly established. So in this text, the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, it states there, therefore all phenomena are empty. So what this means is that because all phenomena dependently originate, they are necessarily not truly established. There is not any kind of assertion of non-existence being made here, because that would be a view which is called nihilism, and that's a mistaken view. The assertion here is that the phenomena being mentioned are empty, What does that mean? It means that they are not truly established. I mean, they are not inherently existent. They are not inherently existent because they dependently originate. So what is dependent origination? There are two types of dependent origination. Dependent origination of causes that are causes and conditions, and then dependent origination that is a collection. So when we look at the first type of dependent origination, which is the dependent origination of causes and conditions, we see that phenomena that is caused has a collection of causes that have to come together in order for it to come into being. There is no independent this or that that is separate that can be found from that collection of causes. So, for instance, we ourselves are here because of a collection of causes. Our parents and so forth came together, and then a series of causes came together as a collection, and then we are here. But there is no inherently existent us or I that we can locate that is separate from that collection. So the true point of view, which is the lack of true establishment of phenomena, posits that phenomena are merely a collection that comes together, that serves as a basis of designation, and then is nominally designated as this or that. But there is no phenomena that inherently exists from its own side that's separate from that naming of the naming of a that collection. So there is no separate I that exists separate from the collection that make the I be able to be designated. So we have a collection that is together, and then a name that is placed on whatever that is. But there is no what we're naming it separate from that process that's inherently existent. It dependently originates based on, in this case, the example given before, causes and conditions, but then also that collection. There is no, in the Heart Sutra and the view of emptiness, there is not this idea, nihilistic idea, that there is nothing or that these things don't exist. All of these things are posited by Buddha as existing, but not truly existing, not inherently existing. So it is the belief that grasps at the I, or as at the ego, as being truly established that is at the root of cyclic existence. So based on that misapprehension of the I or ego, afflictions are created, and then the afflictions create karma or action, and then the action that creates cyclic existence. It creates samsara. If we are able to apply the wisdom realizing emptiness, which is the wisdom that realizes the lack of true establishment of phenomena, then we're able to get rid of the root of that process. So when we use the example of a rope that's mistaken for a snake, if one misapprehends and grasps at a rope in a dark room as being a snake, the only thing that will reverse that misconception and everything that comes with that misconception that grasps at it incorrectly as it being a snake is the non-mistaken understanding that it is a rope. So likewise, the only thing that will harm the grasping at true establishment is the understanding that things are not truly established. And once that wisdom is realized, the lack of true establishment of phenomena is realized, then that harms completely the grasping. And then that grasping can't create the afflictions and karma and cyclic existence. So that is how the wisdom realizing emptiness serves to cut the root of cyclic existence. And a brief explanation of the meaning of dependent origination and emptiness by citing some of the things in the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge as examples of things that are negated and seemingly negated, their existence negated, but it's only negating the true existence of this phenomena.
What the nigga talk, Chino Deba Madrubas and not Deba Madruba to Sul Jusens and Madonna, what the Lord Jagal Kalkab Madra. But the Nasa Jinga so I said in the Wala Nasa the Mood River, Labat River, Combat River, Zoot River, Shepard River, Swat River, Dujit River, doesn't the Woods on the cheese than the radio Marbata. Not Good Nareo, Malabat Nareo Mare, Eat Nareo Mare, Kadu de Naredio Marbota. When I hear Maribasna, I are us. And Gandes, you are us now, the Sutubola Dune and a Dune Tabi Nadio are us. That's not you. Tabi Ode Nadio are us. Not Dune, you are Maduba Radio Maris. No, I said, what this one is, Amarbe? Rod met the tender in Beijer, Takuro, Punazunjins, Punazu, she wouldn't ever in a dumbat, begin the Zunjin to pitch. What to Bajabu, Marbe, Punazunjins, Zunjins Jarotaz, and she wouldn't ever in a dumbat, which begin to water. Picket dumbat, which he pitched to New Yoruba. The she would reverse in the Marwa. Sesu dumba te marota. Ote zonye da ane loni tuba la tune ane ote lol chag dumba rabuji marota zonye lo de marbe. Ote naje resete naje ngate ya ngao nya be lote ke nga yeban se go arete pumbi ngone yo mares. Pumba la tune yo mares. Zunye Rabris, Tendi Imbeja, Puna Zunyajis, what to see Samarbe?
The Tama Yandrasuranan, the Pumbunga, the Tama, Tamakuna.
Tapunangasu, the Tendi is against the Dajilative Tendi, the Marabe Daja, and then Azungula to the true Labala to the true, the Mutan Labat to the Nai Juka Marot.
Lesser.
To Dajilito, Daja. Dajilative Tendi.
Lesser.
Julicheva, Jujela to be Tendi, Tendi Kajin.
Lesser.
What is and don't would water? Not the Jujila to be tender radio, eh? Dajila to be tender radio, tender yins on, and then Maduba on to your mother.
Okay, less
no eyes.
Less
what is a mother?
Less no eye. The eye merely exists as a collection that is named. There is no I that exists inherently that's separate from that collection that is named. So another example of how this I is designated is when one looks in a mirror, for instance. When one looks in a mirror, a facsimile of one's face is then portrayed on the glass in front of you. But the face isn't really there in the mirror. There's merely causes and conditions and lighting that come together that make it so you see a reflection of yourself in that mirror. But there is no actual face that's there. It's merely a reflection of it. So that example is used sometimes to understand how the eye exists. The eye exists merely by the collection coming together and then naming it. So if we don't think about reasons for the eye not being truly established, then we won't be able to realize its lack of true establishment. So we have to come up with reasons. So we begin to analyze, where does this I exist if it exists inherently? Does it exist in my head? Does it exist in my arm? Does it exist somewhere on my legs? Is the I in my body somewhere? Is the I in my form, is my eye in my feeling, or is my eye, is the, when I say I, is the I or the ego in perception or formation? Form, feeling, perception, formation, consciousness. Can the I be found in any among those aggregates? And then is the I our hue or our color represents us? And when we then begin to try to find out where this I actually exists, we won't be able to find it. And then at that point, we have to say, then, does the I not exist? And we then respond with, yes, the I certainly exists because we're present doing this. There is an I, there is an existent I that is doing this right now, that is interacting, or there's an I present at this moment. So we can't say that it doesn't exist. That would be nihilism. But what we say is that it doesn't exist inherently separate from that collection that's named. So when we look at the I and its lack of true establishment and the reasons for its lack of true establishment, we would say that the I is not truly established because it dependently originates. When dependent origination is divided into two categories, the dependent origination that is originates through causes and conditions, so we can see that the I that we're positing is coming about through causes and conditions. So we're showing that type of dependent origination as a reason for the I not being truly established. And then also the collection, the actual collection that's coming together that serves as this basis of designation means that it doesn't inherently exist. It relies upon either these causes and conditions or all of these parts coming together. And then as a note, you could even say the directions, north, south, east, west, if they're thinking of a phenomenon on a small scale. So we can find this dependent origination in any phenomena that we analyze. So it's necessary to use these kind of reasons and use these examples to understand it in a full way. And the example of the reflection in the mirror and these things coming together, and then when it looking like there's actually someone there, but there actually isn't someone in that mirror itself. It's causes and conditions coming together that create a facsimile of the face. And likewise, this eye comes about and seems to inherently exist, but is not merely just designated and named atop of a collection. Deekson Rinpoche, Kanga Lhasam.
The Mulu Dugo, Toshi Rongotel, Dali, my Jelly, me, Nili, my Jimmy, me, Mobukanda, Kana, and Joana, your minds. But I'm not about what the devil matu what is, ne, devil matu what is. Karız na dal mıcı, jel mıcı, nigal mıcı, cümel mıcı yeşil. O da dal koydum arada, o da sen.
Then the...
Dal mıyı, jel mi, nil mıyı, cümel mi, o bu kanda kanda ya, çıva na yiyor mıyız, demba tübü çıva yiyor mıyız, çıva da. Demba tübü çıva tüy na yiyor mıyız.
Ngopo,
ngopo. Ngopo sen tava de, çüy tancil konu diyorlar.
Okay.
And the Matabal Kunandi were the then Chitanji
Ale,
Mobukanda Kunaya. Mobu said, Sanson, you do the Golo Mobul as I read it. And then the Jinibala Mobus and Matabal Kundu.
Less so.
What the
Pushing
meet us among
all the water. Less so.
Mobukanda Kuna was the Chitanji Kunga injured it.
Okay. Then the Chitamche, the Jewa, okay, Yomare.
No eyes. Not the moment to work. Tajil Majiz. So I show him what the
lesson.
At the beginning.
To Chana Rinpoche. At the beginning of Nagarjuna's Moya Madhyamika Karika, the root wisdom text, we find a stanza that states that things do not arise from self, other, both, or causelessly. Therefore, functioning things. And Rinpoche said, just as a note, I'm translating it as functioning things, but the word in this case that's being used doesn't always only mean something that functions. It can be a permanent phenomena as well. So this name, it is more of naming it as a functioning thing, but the word means all phenomena in the Root Wisdom text. It's not only referring to things that function, what we would normally translate ngopo as. Ngopo is usually translated as functioning thing, and that is translated as that which is able to perform a function. So therefore, it's necessarily impermanent. But this word here is not only referring to impermanent phenomena in the Root Wisdom text, it's referring to all phenomena. So it says, there is no arisal from self, other, both, or causelessly. Therefore, all phenomena do not have an arisal. And what this means is there is no truly established phenomena that arises. There is only this dependent origination that brings these things into existence. It doesn't come about through itself. It doesn't come about through another thing outside of itself. It's not something of both, something outside and something in the self coming together, and then it somehow can be explained as truly established, and then it's not causeless either. So therefore, we can say that all phenomena do not have an arisal. There's no truly established arisal of anything that we can find. So that's from the Root Wisdom text, and that's the negation of any arisal other than a dependently originated arisal.
What the not the dalice ever is, Lagurta.
Less so.
Not the jude is you are is. Jude. Do you think a law? Jude is you any ever is. Jude is you any ever matu. Jude is a man of Caris Yogurus. Not jude is you are is. Jude is you any cheva is on there. Changin de Wagatazi down the mar, Changin Tangurta. And then Kala Nalule, Tuba. Tsuba de wade, tsuba gju tene kala nalul, tsuba de yuat, as. Gju de suye beish de gru.
Lesser.
And chun kala sevis, tsuba seat, as.
Lesser.
Sesam matan savanju wade, tangen katamarbe.
Lesser.
Sesam matan savanjurus. And a pejuji tabu wade, sasu sen and lanje ja, mazu matu, yotu se, tesit tangen shulishes, prodigious and dangashes. And the summer, and the
Jamalamaji,
Jaji, Neva Jay, and the antis you ever in a Kutsak, Sak on the Tisa, Sak on Lamaji, Jayotas. Ne, what the Jaji, Neva, entered the Goyabes, Sasu Sena Lanchaja. You as a size to Lanchaja, you as a lesson, Tashem was a good.
That's
it. The show. The
Lamchen, the Jewalami Lamchen, Jewashemi Lamchen.
They got
when we look at no arisal from self, other, both, or causelessly, we begin with the no arisal from self. So the no arisal from self negates the ancient school called the Samkhya school. It's translated as the enumerators. And the enumerators believed that things had within them the cause already present. So there was this pre-existing cause that was present and had the power, the ability within the self to have a self-arisal. So within the self itself, I'm sorry, but within the self itself, there was this ability for the arisal, that the cause exists already within within the effect, if you will. So in Shanti Deva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, there's a section where there's a large amount of debate that's going back, taking place. And there is a challenge to the Samkhya school, where Shanti Deva states that if bread that you're eating then is a cause for feces, does that mean that you are currently eating feces? Because the ability for it to create feces is already within it, so does that mean that you're eating feces? So that begins to unwrap the idea that there's the cause already that's the same, you know, somehow different in the same at the same time within it, so that this ability is present within it already. And then So in Dharmakirti's text, the Pramana Vartika Karika, the commentary on the compendium for valid cognition, there's another negation or example given to negate the view. And it states that if there is an ant that has the ability in the future, or in the future of that ant's continuum, it will have 100 rebirths as an elephant. Are there 100 elephants standing on a blade of grass? Is that possible, that there are 100 elephants standing on that blade of grass as the ant stays there? Because in the future, if the ability and the cause for the elephant is already there, then there have to be that present in some way within that ant. So is it possible there are 100 elephants, future elephants, already standing on this blade of grass, because they're stating that everything is self, things are the self-caused. So it would have to be the elephant within the ant already in order for it to be a fact, if things could be self-caused. So these are two things that are stated as negations to that idea that things already are caused by themselves in some way, without any kind of external factors necessary. So we find many reasons for the lack of true establishment that of the I that's presented, for instance, in the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, when it states that there is no I, not referring to the I itself, referring to the ego, there is no I. We begin to be able to establish reasons for that. There is no I that is truly established. So we know that no I means no truly established I. So there is no I that is truly established because it dependently originates. So this is a first reason we can state. Because of interdependence, because of dependent origination, there's no inherently existent or truly established I. And then we can look to Nagarjuna's Mulya Madhyamika Karika, the root wisdom text, and we can state that there is no truly established I because it does is not truly established by coming into being by way of itself, by way of other, by way of combination of both or causelessly. So then that would be a second reason that we can assert. And then when we look at Shandarashita's ornament to the middle way, and I'll have to look this up, it's a little more complicated than I can just translate off. But it says things do not arise from self and other because they are not found to be one with true establishment. They merely exist as a reflection or a mirage. So merely their mere existence or true existence is a mirage or a reflection. A facsimile. So it's translated a lot of ways. That was a very loose translation of the ornament to the middle way quote. Rinpoche said that all of these quotes, after I had him repeat the quote from the ornament, are very similar and have that same meaning, that you can't find inherent existence when you start to analyze a inherently existent or truly existent self. So that can't be found because you can't find it that to arise independently because of dependent origination. You can't find it to arise from itself, other, both, or causelessly. Therefore, it's merely a reflection, a mirage that appears to be a true thing, but it isn't. It isn't what it appears to be. These are different quotes that we find in the text to explain this. So there are many signs that are presented to prove this lack of true establishment.
Rang sing to be double to be Jujianle, double to be Division Chigres, Rang sing to be Jujianle, Rang sing to be Division Chigres, Jianle Chivas, Rang sing to be Jujianle, Rang sing to be Division Chio Kilenzan, Jianle Chivas, the Uma Rajuba Machi, Shuba Tama Kilade. What the Uma Tanju was what the Jianle Chio, the Uma Rajibare, Jianle Machetan.
So this next I does not truly established or have a true arisal from other. This negates all of the views of every tenet system except the Madhyamika Prasangika. So within the Buddhist tenet systems, and then Rinpoche said, and then therefore all other non-Buddhist tenet systems that are not the Madhyamika Prasangika view hold this idea at some level of an establishment or an existence from brought about by other in some way. So when we look at the schools, so we have the middle way consequence school, it's the highest view, and this view states that there is no arisal from other. Therefore, it is not truly established in any way. But the middle way autonomy school posits a degree of arisal from other. The mind-only school, or the Chittamantran school, it also states this. And then the Sotrantika school, or Sutra school, states this arisal, true established arisal of from other. And then also the great exposition school, which is the Vaibhashika school, asserts this. And again, along with all the other non-Buddhist tenets. So we only find this pure understanding of lack of true establishment in the middle way consequence school. When we look at the different view holders, so if we look over at the wall over there, and we look at the views that those practitioners held, the holders of the middle way consequence school are Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Aryadeva, Shantideva, and Buddha Palita. I'm sorry. So Buddha Palita is the other holder of the middle way consequence view. And then if we look at the middle way autonomy school, then we have Kamala Shila, Chandrashita, Hari Bhadra, Baba Vega, and the Ranjupa. So Chandrashita, Kamala Shila.
Raju Bishinda Swiji to the Lubin Ledenji Roa, Ledenji, and Neju Shiba Raju Shinda Swiji, the Shanda Rajita Kamala Shita Kususun Raju Barota, Jenny Okil in the Wurda.
So Kamala Shila Dang Chandra, the Chandrashita Dang Kamala Shila, the Ni
Baba Vega, Lubin Ledenji,
Litenji, Baba Vega.
Okay,
so the three, Baba Vega, Chandrashita, and Kamala Shila are all holders of the view of the autonomy school, and they posit some sort of truly established arisal from other. And when we look at the middle way autonomy school, there are two different categories. Middle way autonomy that is similar to the mind only school, and the middle way autonomy that is similar to the sutra school. So the Nejor, Ranjupa, the Litinje.
Ranjupa, Dudishubi, Oma Ranjupa, Dudishubi, Ranjupa,
Litinje.
Dudubatan, Tautimbari.
Litinje, okay. Dene Kamala Shila Dan Chandrashita, the Nejor.
Kamala Shila Chandrashita, the Nejor Shiba Umaranju.
Okay.
Sansambatan Tumbi, Uma Vishinta Sunji, the Wode, Shanji de Omarba, Kaza, Chandrashita.
So, when we break the autonomy school down into those two categories, the one that is more like the mind only school. It's the yogic autonomy school. We find Kamala Shila and Chandrashita. So this is the school that leans towards the view of mind only, but is a middle way autonomy view. And we find the arisal from other. And then the Baba Vega is the holder of the opener of the chariot way. It's said as Chandrashita is of the middle way yogic school, of the middle way autonomy school that's similar to the sutra school system, and that's Baba Vega. These are all holders of a view of arisal from other, and those the three are over on that wall, and then we have the other four holders of the middle way consequence school.
Gunro dunshu tunga ka tulu wat pel phebar esa gore ta pel ki jabo jabo ki dene shu ne pel dene shu ane sahi ki tula kanji ane pel bi chapa sapa shu wat pel nalen ta ki lanye na shi tu ungu tu gen tu wat shanda rashi ta ro shanda rashi ta 17 years.
Okay. So when Chandrashita was age 75, he went to Tibet at the
75.
At when he was 75, at the request of a king in Tibet, the Gyalpo Kagi
Sunsen.
Trisun Detsen. So the King Trisun Detsen invited Chandrashita to Tibet, and Chandrashita made the Sanyik temple in Tibet and founded that monastery and began the course of studies in the Nalanda tradition, and this similar to the Nalanda tradition. So we find this in the history of the Tibetan Buddhist lineage, where Chandrashita at age 75 forms this monastery and begins to bring that Nalanda style of education to Tibet. Diksum. Lesson.
So Trisun Detsen,
Who was the king of Tibet at that time, is said to be an emanation of Manjushri. Through Trisun Detsen, who's an emanation of Manjushri, and Chandrashita, we see that the Sanyik monastery is able to be formed, and then many monks became ordained at that time and began to study in the tradition of the Nalanda monasteries. So we see this happening in Tibet at that time. And Chandrashita wrote some important works. He wrote the root text, which is a very summarized explanation of the Middle Way, which is called the Ornament for the Middle Way. And then, this is a shorter text, but in the larger text, which is about 100 pages, and I don't know the name of it, I'm trying to find it right now, it's Seichi. Seichi. So in that text, we find 100 pages, and then there's another commentary as well. So Chandrashita had a large influence in the Tibetan Buddhist way of learning the Nalanda tradition. So Rinpoche said, it's time to take a break
give
out food. So we address the scientific community and we begin to ask these ideas where this I is. Is this I in the head or the arm or the leg or the body? Can it be found somewhere? That is how we can establish by way of signs and reasonings and proof that there is no inherently existent I. So on tape, so there was this question asked about the scientific community and their study of people who've had near-death experiences. This is what kind of invoked this conversation that we're having right now as we get back to the tape. And if that was a way to provide proof of a lack of true establishment of an eye, if people who had a near-death experience were able to actually see their body and be separate from it in some conscious way, if that would be a way to prove it. And then Rinpoche responded by saying that the scientific community establishes things by way of correct signs and proofs in a very similar way that the Buddhist community does. So many times the scientists like the view, Buddhist view, and actually gravitate towards it in some ways because of the way of proving things, this use of correct signs and reasoning. That is a very scientific way of thinking. Yeah, that's it. The low possible.
Low person, yeah.
When we're speaking with a scientist, we can use this way of analysis or reasoning to have a conversation. We could say, is there an I that exists, if we were to ask? And then we could respond by saying, well, if there was an assertion that there was, we would be able to respond in this dialogue by saying, well, is the I existent in the consciousness? Is the I existent in the form or the feeling or the head in some way? Where would we find this I? This is how we would approach those types of those scientists, because it's a similar way of proving through correct signs that things are established within their community. So scientists, Rinpoche said the same thing before, I forgot to translate, so just say this in your mind twice. The scientific community is full of great scholars. So it's benefit to speak with them about these topics. We see scientists have been able to make airplanes and trains and all of these different kinds of medicines, and even the atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, was created by scientists. I wonder if they could answer this question about where the eye is. And they've been able to do all these miraculous things. It would be interesting to be able to ask this question. So they might say, I don't know. Or maybe they might come up with something or a reason. So we would have to see what they'd say. So we've now negated the idea of the arisal from a truly established arisal of self from self, or the I from self, and now we're doing the negation of the arisal from other. So what we're negating here is that somehow this self is inherently existent, has an inherent arisal in some way. This is it, that the self or the I has some sort of inherent arisal from other. That this there is a truly established arisal or coming into presence that's created by other in some way. So this, the negation of that negates all again of those tenet systems below the middle way consequence school, the middle way autonomy school, the mind only school, the sutra school, the great exposition school. All of these schools, we find this arisal, this assertion of arisal from other. So here, this is the reason for its negation. And before, when going just back to Shandarashita, we have the text called The Ornament for the Middle Way, and then there is a commentary on the commentary of the Compendium of Valid Cognition. So it's called the abbreviation, summary of valid cognition. And it's a summary of Dharmakirti's Pramana Vartika Karika, and it's about 100 folios. And Rinpoche said it was very, very, very difficult. And in India, he studied the text, and it was quite complex explanation of Dharmakirti's root, the commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition. So I wasn't able to translate that before break, so I just wanted to make sure that I said the names of those books properly when we got back, because I spoke with Rinpoche at break. Okay, Deeksum.
The
Nagarjuna, the Dawadrapa, the Sanjayjang, the Aryadeva, Dang George, Dang Tome.
Sangha.
Tome.
Oh, Tome, Tome.
The Kanga.
Oh, Kutu Uma Tanjore.
Okay.
And the Jenda Gala, what the
Jenda?
Sanjayjang, the Uma Tanjore.
When we look at these Indian pandits, we can find that we have these main, let me go back. When we look at the Indian pandits, we can divide them into categories of the tenet system that they hold. So when we look at the middle way consequence view or tenet, the following scholars are holders of that view. Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Buddhapalita, Aryadeva, Shantideva, Asanga, and Lord Atisha. So these are all holders of the view of the middle way consequence school. And then many of the others are holders of the mind-only view and so forth, such as Basu Bandhu is an holder of the mind-only
Dignaga.
View. Dignaga, Dharmakirti. Dharmakirti, Dignaga, then Baba Vega, Shandarashita, Kamala Shila, the Dua,
and
then also, I was asking Rinpoche about Shakyaprabha, Gunaprabha. He said maybe holders of the Ranjupa. And then they were maybe holders of the autonomy view. The mind only, we find Basu Bandhu, Dharmakirti, and others. So they have this idea of arisal from others. And when we look in the texts, we find a great deal of debate that takes place amongst these authors. In relation to each other's views. That's it. In relation to each other's views.
Less so.
So then the next idea that there is no arisal from both. So we have a negation of no arisal from self, And then parentheses, no truly established arisal from self, no arisal from other, and no arisal from both is now the negation. The arisal from both is negated, being negated. And this is to negate the holder of the Jain view or the Jain tradition. They assert that things arise from themselves and other. There is an actual inherent, truly established arisal from this combination of self and other. So it's so strange. I remember in India, Dharamsala, in Varanasi, the Jain holders of the Jain view are naked, so they don't wear clothes. So it would be funny because we'd see them riding naked down the street on bicycles. So we, I saw this. So that's the religious tradition called the Jains. So they believe that there is an arisal from both self and other.
Less so.
And then the final negation is of causelessness. The causelessness is asserted by the nihilists. The ancient Indian school, the nihilists, and they say things all arise causelessly. There's no cause for anything. And then the peacock example is given. All these colors that are on this peacock, there's no cause for all these different colors. They just, that's how they are. They're the peacock, there is no cause behind those colors whatsoever. So they prove in their view, the nihilistic school view, that things arise without a cause.
And then Allah
when we establish this no I, so a not truly established I, we can establish that by the proof of dependent origination. The I is not truly established because of dependent origination. The I is not truly established because of a lack of arisal from self, other, both, or causelessly. The ornament from the middle way, again, Chandrashita's text, we find this idea that there is no arisal from its dadanshit, from itself or other, and then it goes on to say, therefore things are not inherently existent; they only arise like a zunye, like a reflection. So we'll get the exact quote later for that, but the assertion is, from Chandrashita, is that this arisal is merely just a reflection, like a reflection that's happening. This self, this truly established I that is arising is like a reflection. So there are many proofs that are given in these various texts for the selflessness or lack of true self.
Chandrashita wa te pöl pe ne wa te sa yi zula khang jin ne pö bi ta ba du ne chö da jin ta ba sa ba du zo ba des
seven
sem du zo tu shu wa
sa
ta ba du zo ne ta ba ta ba du ya bu yong du ya do ta chö da ji ya de
lesson
an do su lu jo de
lesson
wa te do su lu jo de wa te na len ta ga lu jo che
So when Chandrashita came at the request of the king and formed the Sanyik Suvakong, he first ordained seven monks. So this is what started this way of studying in Tibet in the Nalanda tradition. And they began to study in this style. And then we see now after other masters such as Kamala Shila came and so forth within that same Nalanda tradition, that the way of studying in all of the different schools of not school, schools of or sects is probably more accurate of Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, such as the Nyingma, Kagyu, Sakya, Gelug, and the Bon tradition. We find this influence of the Nalanda tradition, and then because of that, this interest in investigation, or this interest in this kind of analysis that we find in these texts in the Nalanda tradition. So that's why all of these sects within Tibetan Buddhism all follow that. Because they're all from the source of the teachings that came from Chandrashita and then the others that came after him. And Chandrashita was able to clarify some views that the Tibetans didn't understand. So that was able to clear up some of the misunderstandings and so forth. And then Kamala Shila came and developed it even more and more. And then now we see these various sects and so forth that all are from that process. So both Kamala Shila and Chandrashita were very great Nalanda scholars. So then, because Chandrashita and Kamala Shila came, the Tibetans were able to understand these texts, understand what they meant, the meaning of these texts, and then we find the formation of these various sects in Tibet, such as Nyingma Kagyu, Sakya Gelu, and then Bon tradition. So then other monasteries were formed, such as the Daju Lopun Ling. And Daju Lopun Ling was set up to translate the texts from Sanskrit and Pali into the Tibetan language. So we find the Sanyik Sulakong, Chandrashita forms, and then others such as Daju Lubun Ling, and then Dudu Ngapa Ling. And Dudu Ngapa Ling was a monastery that studied the tantric texts. So this is some more history within the Tibet. So it began in the Sanskrit and Pali language. So then it was converted into Tibetan, and then after it was converted or translated into the Tibetan language, then the Tibetan people were able to study these texts in Tibetan because they didn't know Pali or Sanskrit. So they had to be converted into Tibetan. And once that happened, then the Tibetans could start to study the Nalanda, these texts. So in the authentic Indian commentaries in the Tanjur section, we find around 200 Nijja Jusun.
Nijja Jusun
rupa kiro. 213 books that are authentic Indian commentaries written by the Indian masters. But if we look at the number of Tibetan works, there are in the thousands as far as commentaries on this material. So we only have the 200 or so of the Indian texts, but we then have, again, thousands of commentaries in the Tibetan language written by Tibetans. Okay, so Rinpoche said maybe we'll end there at this point. Oh, this is a little lesson in history. Oh, okay. Little lesson in history. So we'll end there, and we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication. Thank you all for coming. And next time, we'll get that quote exact of the Kshana Rashita. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I've collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and for the particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Ramchir Kutsi Shabi Denonam. Kutsi Larman Shemokanga Chiranam.